Hello. Welcome to Discovering Jazz, where you and I together discover great music, picking up information to keep jazz old and new alive. My name is Larry Sadman, here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, sponsored by Peterborough Independent Podcasters. This is part 6 of what has turned out to be 6 episodes of a series on great solos, the first 2 parts having been aired about 5 years ago. And so you don't have to go back 5 years. I'm going to post parts 1, 2, and 3, episodes 52 to 55, as archives over the next 3 weeks. But this week's podcast is a new one. So let's get on with it. One correspondent, Fred Simon from the Jazz World site, mentioned So What by Miles Davis, which is also the solo that won the poll for most outstanding solo by a country mile. I introduced this series 5 years ago by talking about that one. I played the whole track plus the solo separately. Music historian and journalist Ashley Kahn prizes this one as a harbinger of modal jazz, a perfect balance of sound and space. It's easy and clear. Let's hear just the solo. Of course, a jazz solo really does have to be heard in the context of the whole piece. So I invite you to go back to episode 52 to hear the whole thing and more about why this is taught to first-year jazz music students. Let's hear another classic, but the whole track. McCoy Tyner from his The Real McCoy album of 1967 and Passion Dance. Pianist Helen Sung said that when she first heard it, she felt exhilarated and fascinated, amazed at how Tyner was able to play over one chord with the same directional energy and inevitability that he'd used to solo over changes. She adds that his phrasing, the shape of his lines, and how he navigates harmony are uniquely his own. Let's hear it. Thank you. McCoy Tyner with Joe Henderson sax, Ron Carter bass, and Elvin Jones on drums. Next solo, I again go to the Jazz World site and a response to my query about great solos from Dennis Tuffin. He mentioned a few, one being Louis Armstrong's Potato Head Blues, which I played on a previous episode. Other trumpeters are Henry Red Allen on Jersey Lightning, Miles Davis with Gil Evans on Summertime, pianist Jess Stacy on Sing Sing Sing, Brubeck on I Want to Be Happy, and Bill Evans on These Foolish Things. They're all great solos, but I can play two of them. Which ones? Well, how about some more Miles? And his collaboration with Canadian-born Gil Evans is especially important because Gil coached Miles to simply use a scale rather than play the chord changes on some of the tunes on the Porgy and Bess album, released in 1959. It's a predecessor to his classic Kind of Blue, where he made wider use of modes, particularly on the tune I Loves You Porgy. But on Summertime, he also creates a very simple melody which doesn't ignore the chord changes, but he isn't dependent on them. So listen to his solo on Summertime. Miles Davis. Summertime, Miles Davis and Gil Evans. I want to thank Dennis Tuffin for introducing me to this next piece, Early Dave Brubeck from 1954 from his Jazz Goes to College album, and a Vincent Yeoman song called I Want to Be Happy. Brubeck wasn't generally known as a great soloist. That distinction usually went to a saxophonist, Paul Desmond. This one's fascinating. It almost sounds amateurish, but boy, does it do its job? You hear Paul Desmond's solo, and it's competent, but I found myself getting bored. It's almost like Brubeck sensed that. So he goes into the antithesis of Desmond's arpeggiated solo, banging on the chords for quite a while, and you wonder where he's going to go with it. It turns into something that resembles a fugue in the left hand and back to the chord banging. And just when you're about to get tired of that, you get some bassy licks. Then drummer Joe Dodds throwing in some great punctuation. Then Desmond and Brubeck trade off for a few moments to end it. Fascinating. Let's hear it. I Want to Be Happy, Dave Brubeck Quartet. Thank you. from 1954, Dave Brubeck Quartet. I Want to Be Happy, with Paul Desmond on sax, Bob Bates on bass, and Joe Dodge drums. Now for a solo that I've played a few times and know well. Paquito de Rivera describes it as a perfectly composed classical piece without losing the candidness of improvisation. Coleman Hawkins from 1939, Body and Soul. What an amazing solo. And that was 1939, a solo that foreshadowed almost everything you hear in today's jazz. Coleman Hawkins, Body and Soul. Let's go to something more modern now. The whole arrangement is exciting, but the solo that Swedish pianist Man Skavinsted throws in on this tune is, to my mind, astounding. The group is Ellis Capel, from one of my favorite albums of last year. You never know where that very melodic solo is going to go. Their version of Ralph Ranger's If I Should Lose You.
Lose you, believe. sing a lonely refrain, and I would wander around hating the sound of rain with you beside me. No winds of winter would blow with you beside me. A rose would bloom in the snow. I gave you my love, but I was living a dream, and living would seem in vain if I lost you.
Sweden's Ellis Capel, featuring the piano and arrangement of Man Skavinsted, and the lovely voice of Lovisa Jennervall, and August Eriksson doing some great bass, and Edvin Glante on drums. Time to speed things up and do some swinging, and to go back to the solos that the experts rave about. It's the third time I've played this tune in my 6 years of this podcast, and that's okay, isn't it? Three times in 6 years? From Hank Mobley's 1960 album, Soul Station. Irving Berlin's Remember. Jazz singer Kate McGarry says this about Mobley's solo. The phrasing and use of space make it feel as though he's having a dynamic and entertaining conversation with someone just out of ear's reach. I also enjoy the rainbow arc of the solo. He develops themes in an unhurried way, letting them expand and blossom, and then guides us home via the blues. Unquote. Hank Mobley. Thank you. Mike Mobley with Wynton Kelly piano, Paul Chambers bass, and Art Blakey drums, Irving Berlin's Remember. Next, the trumpeter Freddie Hubbard's most transcribed solo, One Finger Snap, off Herbie Hancock's 1964 Empyrean Isles Island on Blue Note. Here's what jazz trumpeter David Weiss says about it. Freddie Hubbard did things on the instrument that were seemingly impossible and would leave us all stunned. One Finger Snap is a perfect example of this. He begins his solo so melodically that we all thought for years that the first chorus of his solo was actually the melody of the tune. It's even in some real books that way, only to find out otherwise through alternate takes released later. I'm assuming that this is the solo that starts the piece and continues for the first 2 minutes and 40 seconds, then reprises near the end. One Finger Snap, Herbie Hancock featuring Freddie Hubbard. Thank you. Freddie Hubbard and his amazing trumpet solo on Herbie Hancock's One Finger Snap. Let's finish off with a Canadian piece with a solo that was recommended by Victoria, trumpet player and administrator of the Canadian Jazz Recordings Facebook group, Patrick Boyle. It's Montreal pianist Jeffrey Johnson, and from his fifth studio album from 2013 with Michael Billard on drums and Jim Vivian bass. This track is called What? My name's Larry Sadman, taking a few weeks break, but I'll be posting the first three episodes from 5 years ago of this Discovering Jazz series on jazz solos. Bye for now. Here's Jeff Johnston Trio. Thank you.